You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Really want inside can only come from you. Yeah. with your night.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, y'all. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things that you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it was not, many times it isn't. But it has to get done. It must get done. And so, therefore, you get it done. You will do it. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see the podcast that says African Perspectives. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see, well, you click on podcast, the drop down, you see African Perspectives. You click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can go to whatever search engine you use, you know, Firefox, Google, whatever. Yeah. And put into the search. If it's a search engine, you put into the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled for your listening and pleasure. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, the Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 7 to 8 on Thursday. The Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Wake up, Brother Oshi. Okay. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sundays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything, and I do mean everything, you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba is coming back home tomorrow. Okay, he was in Liberia, March 29th to April 9th. So he'll be back tomorrow. And hopefully next week we'll get a chance to talk with him about this particular trip to Liberia and Morocco, see how that was, and the other future trips upcoming. The next trip is July 11th through July 23rd to Ghana. And then November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. That should be a dynamic trip to Kemet. It's $4,500. You can jump on it right now, family, and lock it in. Put a down payment, down pay on it. By the time November comes around, I know it's only the fourth month, you know, but hey, you'll be on it.
And then, of course, if, you know, or you can do this one, December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. Yeah, I know. It's South Africa. I refuse. Afrikaners, I refuse. You know, no, Azania. And then April 3rd to April 13th, Senegal and Gambia again, 2025. April 3rd to April 13th. 20. Now, once again, I got to wait till he gets back because there's a conflict in scheduling here, because there's a Liberia and Morocco trip for 2025, and that's on the same dates. So, wait till he gets back and he'll clear that up. But May 24th to June 5th to Ghana, and November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Those are some of the trips of a lifetime that you can go on here for at AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad, and the Habesha programs that they have. They do great work. Love Habesha. And, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana, which they unveiled a couple years ago, and all the great work, October of, 22. Yeah, October 22, they unveiled the Kashi Project. And so all the work that they have, the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs, Habesha Incorporated.org. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE program, they have 12 different projects in 6 different countries on the continent, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE group because they deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, of human essential, what are essential to humans, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. Okay. That's right. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brothers and sisters, the Minister of Wellness is in Kenya, and he'll be back soon. You can go to the Minister of Wellness, and you can sign up for his free biblical health book. Okay? Just go to theministerofwellness.com, theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy. Brother Jabril, give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Those two organizations, the Minister of Wellness and Smy Pharmacy, brothers and sisters, they have what you need to possibly rid yourself of narcotics, rid yourself of those drugs. I'm going to play a piece today that kind of explains some of that. Yeah, because I got a little piece that we can do today. Okay. And once again, Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. Smy Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation, and now when you go to the Moses West Foundation, right away, there's a piece that they have now, MosesWestFoundation.org, for the donation section, choose an amount to give, and please do that. Sign up to give. Clean water saves lives, you know that. We developed and implemented an atmospheric water generator, the AWG technology, to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Nothing more important than clean, safe water. Clean, safe water, family. So it's all right there. So they updated the website. It looks great, you know, so hopefully you can check it out for yourself. Check it out for yourself. Moses West Foundation. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The dying West End. The West End Mall and Soul Veg is across the street from Wadada's. Up the street is the Shrine. And man, I tell you. But Wadada's has healthy market and juice bar. Has delicious smoothies, fruit drinks, health drinks, dry goods, all kind of stuff. They serve vegan dishes on Saturday and Sunday. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located at 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The phone number is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Much love. Their bookstore is right in the quarter of the Greenbrier Mall. And she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Brothers and sisters, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore we deal with, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. That is east of here. Jump on I-20, go east, headed towards Augusta, but you exit number 74. Once you exit 74, you make a left. Now you're going north for about a little over a mile. Then there will be on your left the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, and they have books. They have t-shirts. They have all kind of good stuff. The red, black, and green shoes, health products, and so forth. Good, delicious drinks. They serve Cameroon boyo and teas and so forth. That's Brother Kazimdi Ajamu. Brother Kazimdi Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. You know why? Because there's light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the other way. Now, instead of going north, you're going south. And once you go south, you head back to I-20 and make a left. You're going south again. Excuse me, you're going east again. But the next exit is exit 74. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market, family. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, the Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 to 10, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And there's a number you can call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns. And that number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us. Lifting us to Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. And, of course, Homeland Village. They're not open today. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, Homeland Village. The Homeland Village is fantastic. Brother, every spot is something that he's selling or doing. Man, I tell you, it's beautiful. And he even has a vegan restaurant on the premises. So that Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., check out the Homeland Village. Give them a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. That's Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And Sister Gabby, working with Sanjay-Haiti. That's how you pronounce. That's how you pronounce Haiti. Haiti. SONJE-AYITI.org. SONJE-AYITI.org. Akabin Institute and Mama Yah and Baba Baruti, they're They deserve support. And I always ask you to give them the support that they need. Go to PayPal if you want to use that. Because I don't give the P.O. Box number. I don't know if people ain't going. Yeah. Go to PayPal. But you go to PayPal, put in their email address. Is Yaa Baruti, Baruti, you know, .com. Yaa Baruti. And then, of course, Cash App, the $ Yaa, Yaa, the letter M, and then Baruti, Baruti. Okay? All right, family. All right, family. I tell you, I love the African family. I love the African family. Okay, we got the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 7th. Genocide is a process. It begins as failure to cherish and protect all that belongs to you and yours. It is accomplished with the separation of your cultural, spiritual, and physical selves. Death is but the added insult and final injury. In Xavier Arnold. A deep and observable consideration of this thought can help those who do not understand the systematic nature of what's going on. Yorugu are consistent in implying their deception and creative approaches into destroying everything that is not them and works against their domination. They work against anyone who has the potential to become or remain free and natural. And they do it in every single solitary area of human activity. With intensive, long-term, concerted planning, they devour life and all who promote it. Only a fool would overlook the fact that deception always has an agenda. Relative to a sworn enemy for warriors, this should bring up the question of why would we smile at a people who are consciously trying to kill us and consistently trying to kill us. It is productive to try to befriend a determined assailant. Is it productive to try to befriend a determined assailant? It is only the fool who cannot believe his enemy is his foe and that his enemy is trying to murder him. And the only moron, excuse me, and only a moron would fall for the propaganda that conversation brings peace to sworn enemies. You know, and they try to get that notion that we need conversation. We need to sit down at the table and talk. And only a moron would fall for the propaganda that conversation brings peace to sworn enemies. Equally doomed is the person who acts as if his predators are only sporadically deadly. Affirm, I study Yorugu's genocide process and agenda and work to undermine it with every breath I take. Affirm, I study Yorugu's genocide process and agenda and work to undermine it with every breath I take. April 8th. Many of primal mother figurines, which personify fertility, voluptuousness, and rebirth that have been exhumed from the grave sites of men and women, have arms which transform into wings. For the original African woman was the first being to be identified with angels. The ancients believed she was the connecting link between heaven and earth, the intermediate between time and eternity. She was the first divine messenger of the cosmic Godhead, the source of light and wisdom called Ma'at in ancient Kemet and wisdom in the Hebrew scriptures. Dr. Ishaka Musa Bereshango. me and my brother share a birthday. Me and Baba share a birthday. So I've always tried to talk about Baba Barishango. Always. Not just around the holiday time. We honor African warrior women because they believe in the righteousness of our fight for African sovereignty and are fully engaged in the frontline work of this uncompromising struggle to be who we naturally are. We honor them because of their resilience in the face of an unrelenting parasitic enemy and the struggles that must daily overcome with those in the conscious community and beyond those who fear ignorance and personal weaknesses because them to act out, to cause them to act out their menticide against us. We honor our sisters because of the incomparable beauty they possess and so effortlessly express physical, mental, emotional, and spirituality in just being their natural African selves. Ashe. We honor them because they are the bearers and the first teachers and the feminine nurturers of the warriors in training that we have chosen to create and rear together. We honor them because they honor us by standing with us and setting a standard for us that is more than worthy of us as a people and a sacred vision we hold for our children's, our great-great-grandchildren. We honor them because they are ours and we are theirs. I say, affirm, I honor African warrior women. Affirm, I honor African warrior women, brothers and sisters. The Inya Sasem, the Inya Sasem of daily revolutionary thought. I say. Yes, family, it's Monday. It's Monday. Yeah. So yesterday, you know, took my grandson to his game, and you know, every there ain't no damn short rides in this mother, I tell you, but I tell you that. Ain't no like down the street in 15 minutes or 10 minutes. Every place is 45 hour. In fact, I got caught in some traffic. What was that? Last week, Sunday, I believe it was. I mean, it was terrible, you know. And then even this Saturday, I had to reroute because apparently there must have been some accidents on the interstate, and the GPS had me rerouting. Hey, just be patient. Bear with it. That's how I deal with it, family. And he got to his game. He played well, and they won. That's good. You know, he came home and finished watching. Didn't see the first quarter of Iowa, South Carolina. But Caitlin Clark went off. She scored more points in the first quarter than any other, I think, men or women. I'm not sure. Haven't read that yet. But I know that she got off, and Iowa was leading. In fact, as I checked my phone and seen the scores, I think the last I saw they were winning by 6. But South Carolina came back and they tied it up, I believe, at half. So I saw the second half. And, man, I'm so glad my sisters came through. I love Dawn Staley. I love her spirit. I love her fire. I remember her very well at Virginia. Remember her very well. In Charlotte, when she played for Charlotte. A couple of the teams she played for in the WNBA. She didn't have a long career in the WNBA. She knew she wanted to be a coach, and she's doing what she loves. She now has 3 championships. She's the first American-African man or woman to have 3 championships, NCAA championships, you know. But I'm just going to keep it real here. I did not want Iowa to win. I didn't care which one, the Iowa UConn, Paige Beckers, the battle between Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. And, you know, they're both celebrated. They're both tough. They are. But, man, can't beat them sisters. And so you have basically an all-white team. You have that young sister. I think she's a freshman or sophomore in the middle for Iowa with the Afro Puffs, you know, but that, outside of her, that's it. And, you know, that's what they put on the floor. And so I didn't, you know, I'm sorry, family. I'm not, when I see us, I cheer for us. I don't give a damn what it is. I cheer for us. I'm objective. I give credit where credit is due, but I want us to win. Just like they want them to win. You see what happened last year. Iowa beats South Carolina. South Carolina was undefeated last year. Check this out. This is how deep Dawn Stickley is. South Carolina was undefeated last year with a veteran team. And Iowa beat them. Iowa plays LSU, and everybody had Iowa beating LSU. But them sisters, once again, and my girl Flage Johnson, who's trained with my grandson, Flage, you know, and Flage is killing in the name, image, and likeness in NIL. And she had a good game. But a few other players had a good game along with Angel Reese. And then, of course, when Angel Reese mocked Caitlin Clark, white folks were highly upset. They were pissed because once LSU lost to Iowa a few weeks ago, Angel Reese said, "Wow, this has been really tough since I won the championship. I get death threats. I get sexual. I mean, that's just, it's just been a nightmare." So she's on the stand. In fact, Flage was wiping away tears from her eyes. Damn. So, but y'all know that. Y'all know that Caucasians are mean-spirited, evil, selfish, greedy. Y'all know that. If you listen to this program, you sure the hell know it. So, South Carolina came through. Dawn Staley loved it. And she gave Caitlin Clark some love and said that, you know, she's one of the goats. She didn't call her the goat. She's one of the goats. I don't like that goat shit anyway. She's a good player. She's a great player. And no doubt she'll make the Indiana Fever a good team. And so they didn't win, and South Carolina did. Loved it. So now today, UConn's men against Purdue, Big Zach Edey. Big Zach Edey, now UConn has a big guy themselves. You know, so it's going to be the battle. It's going to be fun to watch. And then, of course, the end of the program, that one shining moment. Yeah. Loved it when Luther was doing it. All kind of cats have done that song. So today on the national news, they had the Caucasian that wrote the song. Yeah. He was in a bar. And the lady who was at the time the waitress, they had them both on. That was kind of cool. Yeah. Because what you call sung it too. Their name escapes me right now, but once again, family, this is the last day. This is the last day of March Madness. I've been saying this and saying this because I want you to understand that what March Madness really is. What March Madness is not just the games, the coaches, the players, the plays. No, family. March Madness is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the labor of unpaid us, of our men and women. That's what March Madness is, a stirring reminder. And honestly, name, image, and likeness, meh, I don't feel it because it's individualistic. There are some people who are going to do very good with name, image, and likeness. Some of them already had it in the works in terms of of their web pages and other things on the internet. So then when that happened, bam, it was easy. But the majority of players and in the situation is still in the control of the NC2A. The big money still rolls into the NC2A and these universities, the big universities, that they have the ability to buy new stadiums and this, that, and the other. Yeah. March Madness, family. A stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money of the unpaid labor of African people. Well, see you next year. And we'll see, too, how much different the situation is. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got a message from Brother Ayo. Ayo Kamathi. Yeah. Ashe. So I'm planning to get Brother Ayo Kamathi back with us so we can talk about these European Jews, particularly what's happening right now in Gaza and in Palestine. So look forward to communicating with Brother Ayo Kamathi and to set that up. Yes. Okay. A lot of information I'm going to be taking from Brother Paul. You know, Brother Paul sends me all kinds of great stuff, I tell you. He really does. He sends me all kind of good stuff. Here's a piece he sent. What the FDA doesn't want you to know.
To go after the producers of pomegranates, of cherries, of any product that is in any way associated with a therapeutic effect. Case of pomegranates, pomegranate juice, antioxidants in pomegranates are associated with various positive health effects. Palm Wonderful, makers of the pomegranate products in the United States, principal maker, communicates that information to American consumers. And the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission become involved. And the Federal Trade Commission goes after them for deceptive advertising, hopes to destroy them because they had the audacity to communicate to the American public the potential health effects of pomegranate juice.
The same is true of many different kinds of foods. They've gotten a $2.5 million fine against oregano for making statements about how it could be useful in your health. Made arguments against prunes and against cranberries. All of these things that people in their common sense could use to their benefit, the FDA is putting barriers up in front of.
The walnut growers are not permitted to tell you about the benefits of walnuts. The people who manufacture nutrients are not permitted to tell you what the nutrients do in a clear and unambiguous and truthful method.
Let's talk about the cherry growers. There, a group of cherry growers had a website, and on that website, there was a link. It was to Harvard's website and their research on the benefits of cherries in terms of treating gout, I believe. So FDA looked at that website. There were no health claims on that website, but it linked to another website that discussed scientific peer-reviewed research, and FDA determined that that was sufficient to be making an illegal health claim. FDA went after the cherry growers, literally with guns blazing, knocked down their doors, forced them to sign a consent decree, and agreed never to share any information about the benefits of cherries. Again, at the risk of all sorts of legal proceedings and essentially the loss of their company.
They ban absolutely the right to make treatment claims for any non-drug product. And in this way, they keep people largely ignorant at the point of sale so that they are dependent upon drugs as their only means of achieving a therapeutic outcome, even though the overwhelming scientific literature supports the conclusion that food fundamentally influences our health and influences our ability to overcome disease.
If you tell the public that your food has these kind of health benefits, that food then transforms into a drug. And since the FDA has not approved that food as a drug for that indication, it's an unapproved drug.
The FDA doesn't want you to know that foods like oranges and celery have anti-cancer elements, or that you could drink raw broccoli juice and actually prevent breast cancer tumors or prostate cancer tumors, especially if you combined it with other nutrients.
But the truth is, health is available in abundant, intensive form, and diseases go away when the body gets what it needs at every level. And one of the ways that it needs to cure itself is intensive nutrition.
But yeah, you can't, they can't make no money off that. That's why they treat you. They don't cure you. They treat you. And what they were talking about in this instance was some cures. I got gout. And tart cherry juice. In fact, family, Trader Joe's tart cherry juice, for whatever reason, worked best for me the last time I had gout, which is now it's almost a year ago. But I know now too, with me, I can get gout very easily, so I cannot eat anything. No beef, no red meat, which is fine with me, man. It's cool, whatever. And although some people also have issues with beer, I don't drink beer, they have issues with shellfish, I didn't have the problem. In fact, I had a poor boy, shrimp poor boy, just a couple of weeks ago. But I know the red meat is an issue, so I got to stay away from it. But more importantly, I know that the tart cherry juice works. The dry cherries work. Natural cherries work. It works. Like all those other things, they work. But the pharmaceutical company can't make the billions of dollars that it wants to if you're taking natural things to heal yourself and to cure yourself and to make you better. Because what they want to do is continue with the medication. Take the medication. Yeah. So you're going to go through some things that were sent to me by my dear brother, Brother Paul and others, Brother Ralph, And so there's a lot of stuff out there. Let me play this one before we go to the break. And this is, I think there's another piece to this one too. This is one that, Brother Paul sent, and this is a tough one, family. This is a real tough one, because it's what's happening right now. It's what's happening right now. And I love it because it speaks to truth in you. Because many a times, the many times. Okay, just send me another week. Okay, check this one out, family. Here we go.
One today who is rallying behind Israel is going to lose. I mean, obviously they're going to lose, because rallying behind Israel just shows that you are still stuck in this old colonialist, imperialist, racist, Western supremacist mentality that the entire global South rejects. And frankly, not just the global South. I mean, there are huge numbers of people in the West itself who reject this. The majority of people on Earth reject this. So you see, you're showing the whole global South, you're showing the whole world that you can't change, that you're the same as you ever were. I think the West, and America in particular, needs to understand that the whole world is seeing you for what you are. Your stance on Palestine makes it starkly obvious to everyone that you are not actually mature or developed enough to deserve a leadership role in world affairs, and certainly not in the affairs of the global South, certainly not in all of the countries that have been your victims all these years. I mean, there's no repentance on your part. There's no contrition. There's no moral improvement or change in you. You are exactly the same people who wiped out the Native Americans. You're the same people who regarded Africans as subhumans. You're the same people who murdered hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians in a matter of seconds at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You're the same people who dropped napalm on civilian villages in Vietnam. I mean, on and on. Nothing changes. And nothing exposes this today more than your stance on Palestine. Nothing demonstrates that you have not changed or developed in centuries more than your shameless support for Israel. And believe me, you're alienating the whole planet by this. When you back colonialist Zionist violence against the Palestinians, everyone sees it as emblematic of your whole attitude to the non-Western world, to the non-white world. Everyone in the global South identifies with the Palestinians. Everyone in the Muslim world identifies with the Palestinians. When you declare your support for total war against the Palestinians, when you declare your support for a psychopath like Netanyahu calling for basically a final solution against the Palestinians, well, everyone in the global South gets the message. You are deranged, immoral, barbaric, bloodthirsty, racist savages. And all your talk about human rights and the rule of law and all of that is all just hideous hypocrisy. You don't mean any of it, and you never did.
That's right, they never did. They never did. It's who they are, you know? It's who they are, family. And so my contention is that we have to unite. We must. Africa must unite. The spirit of Osagyefo, Kwame Nkrumah, the spirit of Patrice Lumumba, the spirit of Thomas Sankara, and so many others who understood that we are one Africa. We're not 54 so-called different countries supposed to be sovereign. No, we are not. We're not individual countries with a dictator or some strong man or some individual who does not do nothing for the people, while Africa has all these resources. We have greater potential to do what Saudi Arabia did, and Dubai, and Abu Dhabi, and Qatar, and Oman, or whatever. We have mineral wealth. We have all this potential, and yet we don't have the leadership. Now, I saw a piece, and they talked about that. They talked about dealing with Nigeria. You know, obviously, they didn't want to deal with the reality of why that is, because of colonialism, you know, because of the interference of Caucasians in the affairs of African people. But they talked about, because, you know, they were in the affairs of the Arabs and so forth, but that broke. Yeah. And then oil was discovered, and okay, now they brought in the Caucasians. They brought in Standard Oil. They brought in, you know, Citgo. I mean, in fact, was dealing with Hugo Chavez, you know, in their oil companies.
but to control the oil. They did it. Those companies didn't do it. The Caucasians didn't do it. They did it. And look what they've done, particularly in, you know, in Saudi Arabia or in the so-called Middle East because of it. I don't know if you ever saw some of those Facebook pieces on the wealth, the opulence, the ridiculousness. Man, I tell you, it is serious, family, you know? Yeah. Here's another one, family. Pretty much it's the same man, but I think the information is pretty much the same.
The last people in the world to tell anyone else on Earth about logic, reason, and sense. Your Western so-called enlightenment civilization is a monstrosity in human history. Well, you've committed genocide after genocide, and you're committing one right now in Gaza. Your logical, rational, reasonable European powers obliterated the Native Americans. You systematically dehumanized and enslaved Africans for centuries. You carried out population extermination in Libya, in Congo, in Algeria, and on your own continent against the Jews, the Holocaust, the Gypsies, the Muslims in Bosnia, on and on. You can't talk about rationality and reason. You must be joking. You can only say that if you live inside of your own Western propaganda echo chamber. It's an absurd thing. It's just as absurd as calling yourselves democracies. You created societies that sacralize wealth, that sanctify the rich, giving them near holy authority. You didn't abandon the papal tyranny. You just shifted it into the morality-free private sector. It makes sense to you in your enlightened logic and reason that sick people in your societies, for example, can suffer and die if they're poor, and that every human interaction and every human endeavor should be monetized in order for it to have any value, and whatever can be monetized should therefore be socially acceptable and respectable, no matter how deranged and perverse it is.
Just like they wanted to monetize water. Brother Moses West, when he was, you know, putting his machine together, the atmospheric water generator, AWG, you know, in Flint, Michigan. And you know, the problem happened that this guy wanted to sell water. And Moses West said, no, water is an essential form of for life. You know, so that issue became a problem and they split. And Moses West has been doing his thing with the atmospheric water generator and asking us for donations, asking us, people, period, wherever, for donations, not investment. He ain't talking about investment. He's talking about donations so he can help build more machines. Once again, I say to you, family, it is not a solution. It is part of a solution to the water crises. But the more he's able to build, the more the issue of water because of climate change, it is real. The water problem is real. But thank Almighty God, or thank the spirit of our ancestors, that there is a solution that we can get, because water's all around us. And this machine takes the H2O molecule out of the air and goes through a purification process. Opening up a tap, out comes clean water. They condense it, which of course makes moisture, and then send it through the process. Yeah. They would love to say, man, we're going to find ways to, you know. Because I remember, I don't know about y'all, man. You know, first thing I remember about water was, what, 30-some years ago? No, 40, maybe, I don't know. When they sold Perrier water. When they started selling water in clubs, you know. Selling water. Then, of course, issues happened. In Wisconsin, they had an issue called cryptosporidium. And they had to sell bottled water. You had to buy water. Water is essential. Water is the elixir of life. The tap water in Wisconsin used to be some of the best, but of course, after that problem, the tap water, if you had HIV, you know, And if you had AIDS, you died when that situation happened. You died. If you had a compromised immune system, you died drinking tap water. I haven't drinking tap water. I got a, you know, alkaline water machine. Because understanding that drinking alkaline water is better, and I think most people would agree with that. But still, water is essential. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls, you know, at 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bump education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac. A mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Call, close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool and all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie and run with the creeps because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge.
I'm trying not to lose my head. You say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is cooked and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
What's up, fool?
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creel and Raheem at?
Lay upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Let's check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got wrong, man.
Not
what?
Again,
she got hurt bad.
What is happening? What is
free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
What?
Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster
right
Flash and the Fury.
That's
five,
what is that, a gang?
No.
Shut up. I don't hear you now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. One of the best raps in the history of rapdom. Yeah, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message. That's right. Because I am... That shit my grandson be playing be killing me, man. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Okay. We're going to play some pieces that I think that have a lot of good information. Appreciate some of the people who have sent it in. Appreciate that. Yeah. This is also from Brother Paul. This is in Training Days, the character played that... But Denzel Washington, he won an Academy Award for playing this despicable evil ass. But his little caption here says, let me get this straight. You're praying to the God of your sinfully immoral enslavers, and you're hating your own people based on information from your notoriously deceitful oppressors, and you think this is normal? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. That's what you've been doing. Yeah. Yeah. Knowledge of self will destroy self-hatred. And that's the fact. Knowledge of self will destroy self-hatred. You know? So we're going to...
is another piece. I'm going to play Howard Nicholas, too. Here's another piece, family.
I mean, none. And am I right in suggesting that a medicine, by definition, is something which contains synthetic molecules, something that is registered, patented, and put into the market as a medicine?
Absolutely.
Right. So what I'm learning from you, Dr. Young, is that a quadrillion-dollar enterprise is at work amongst us, decimating, culling the human family.
Intentionally.
Intentionally, using synthetic molecules, which by design are cancer, AIDS, all of the bogeymen we could dream up.
Yeah, for the purpose of sterilization and population control, there's too many people on the planet we need to get rid of. In the words of Bill Gates, at least 3 billion people need to die. So we'll just start off in Africa. We'll start doing our research there, and we'll eliminate most of the Africans because they're deplorable. They're worthless. They're not part of this world economy. So they have their rights taken away, and they're suppressed, and they're experimented.
And the multilateral agencies and the health and regulatory so-called authorities and agencies appear in the main to have become weaponized and appear, I again use the word appear advisedly, we're not casting judgments here, we're taking depositions, listening to expert testimonies, appear to be weaponized and appear to be working in collusion against the living men and women of the soil. Is that a fair statement?
It is. It's not a bacterial war. It's a systemic poisoning war, and they're using chemical warfare against all of us.
Yeah, they are, but they're also being specific on different populations. You know, they're doing it specifically with various populations. So, yeah. Yeah. Let me go find this particular piece. And, yeah. And then we'll open the phone lines up and you can give us a call. Okay? All right, family.
Africa has been fundamental to the global prosperity of the advanced countries. And Africa had a role to play. It has a role as a raw material producer. We will not allow sub-Saharan Africa to escape that. Okay, we do everything to keep sub-Saharan Africa where it is, also impoverished. It's absolutely vital for the prosperity of everyone else. So let's get clear about that. Okay, and this means all the economic structures, all the global institutions, and the economics we teach everyone is all designed to keep Africa exactly where it is. And whether it is Europe or US or now China, it's always the same. We need Africa to be impoverished because we need those raw materials and we need them dirt cheap. Okay, so that's the message. It doesn't mean to say that there's nothing Africans can do. Of course there is. This is what it's about. Because if Africa does do something different, I assure you, living standards of all those in Europe and North America and Asia is going to fall. Okay? And that is a big price to pay. I assure you that the West is not going to allow that without a big fight. Okay? So the job of many Western academics is to convince Africans they have to keep doing what they're doing. Okay? And to show them it's your fault that you're poor. It's not our fault. It's your fault that you're poor. You know, so this is what we do in academic institutions. We know the basic forces that have caused this underdevelopment. We know it's colonization. We cannot afford to allow Africa to industrialize and start producing. producing manufactures. Okay, so we will do everything to stop that. And I'm going to show you how we actually block that. We had East Asian rapid industrialization processes. So in the earlier period, we had Japan and Korea and Taiwan. Okay, rapid growth, sucking in raw materials from Africa, driving up the prices. After those countries finished industrialization, then Sub-Saharan African growth rate again fell. Sub-Saharan Africa is condemned to this role. Just the supplier of raw materials, not a manufacturer. The currencies are collapsing of these countries, and many of them are sub-Saharan African countries. After colonization ended, we needed new structures to keep these countries where they were. Okay? And the first of those is aid. Okay? We give them aid. Aid for what? Actually, we give them aid to keep repressive regimes in power. That's all. All the hypocrisy about transparency and democracy and bullshit like that, it's all bullshit. But it would go to country after country offering loans. And if the president did not accept the loan, they would kill. It's just economics. It's economic warfare. The rich declare war on the poor. It happens everywhere. It happens in a country. The rich control the government. Of course they do. You really believe you have democracy? Come on. I mean, grow up. Who has all the subsidies and income support? US? Europe. The largest budgets in the world for supporting their farmers are Europe and US. You see, we're keeping them dependent. We're keeping them on a string. This next round, the WTO is designed to block that. To block anyone else getting on top of the ladder.
Yeah. Howard Nicholas. I don't know about you, family, but I've played this a number of times, listened to it now for quite a few years, and I still just want to jump through there and just beat his ass. His arrogant ass. You know, the bottom line, though, family, is that what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? That's why this program deals with independence, not dependence, independence. Deals with independence, self-determination. Nobody's going to determine anything about us, but we are. Self-determination. Independence, self-determination, liberation. We must liberate ourselves. Liberation means that we depend upon nobody, that nobody interferes with any of our dealings. Nobody. And of course, sovereignty. We strive for sovereignty on the African continent. And he keeps talking about sub-Saharan Africa. I'm talking about Africa, period. I'm talking about Northern Africa, Southern Africa, Eastern Africa, Western Africa, Madagascar. I'm talking about it all. It is all ours. And Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora uniting to control it all. Because those who have came into Africa have destroyed Africa and Africans. The people in Southern Africa, they got to go. The Caucasians in Eastern Africa, they got to go. If we don't do this, if we don't do this, what we, no, I've already played it a few times. They're going to kill a great number of humanity. And the one I played prior to this one, they talked about, we start with the Africans. They're deplorable. They have nothing. They don't, they're truly expendable. If we don't do this, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We have a number of you in the queue already. You know what to do. Hit star twice. Hit star twice, and you can join this conversation. Hey, brother, how you doing?
How you doing, Baba Oshi? Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Go ahead, my brother.
Brother, when you play that piece right there, that makes it triggers something in my psyche, and it's not anger. Let's be perfectly clear. I want people to be perfectly clear. I don't get mad. I don't get mad. I don't get upset. I get strategic. And that right there fills my tanks up with fuel to keep this fight going, because this is a struggle.
I say.
And when you hear someone who tells you exactly what they're going to do to you, where they think you are, what they know you are to them, you're nothing more than a savage who has lost his way. And I am going to take you to the promised land. If I have to kill you and your children, we're going to get there on the backs of you. And then when your back is no more, I'll get another one that looks just like you, and I'll get on his back. Because these Irugu is going to ride you till you die. We've already seen this behavior in the United States with slavery. They worked you until you died and got another one. And this is what Irugu is doing now. He's trying to make you believe that you have a somewhat of a freedom. I can do it. I can't nobody tell me what to do. I'm told what to do every day, all day. From billboards, newspapers, TVs, radios. Somebody's always telling you what to do your entire life. So don't act like I do what I want to do. You do what you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
as you know better, you do better, Baba.
I say.
As you know better. And I talked to an African brother at the bowling alley. He said, and he was first generation African, because I heard his accent.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Africa doesn't need aid. We don't need aid. We need manufacturing.
Yes.
I saw something there. Come on now.
Yes.
I saw something today with Burkina Faso. They're not going to export any more raw materials, and they're changing. They're getting away from. They get rid of the franc. They got rid of the French people. They get rid of the franc, and now I saw that they're changing their language requirements in school to English and Chinese. I'm like, what is going on here? What has happened, Baba Oshi, is the colonization of France in Africa. It's been so vicious over the years.
Right.
These Africans will reach out to anyone other than the French. Mm-hmm. The French, I mean, you're still paying French and using their money. You're not free. I saw a Jamaican guy years ago told me that we're independent here in Jamaica, and I had to pay him with some money that had a picture of the queen on it. How independent are you when the queen's on your money? You're not independent. You appear to, you think you're independent. Mm-hmm. So when you play that, Baba Oshi, it does more than you know to people who know. And those who don't know, who want to know, mm-hmm. it sparks something in them. What do you mean? I mean, the questions are being asked. We're not talking about the little white girl, Caitlin, whatever, that scored 3-point baskets. And we're not talking about frivolous things that has happened that white people want us to think about, to tell us what to think on this television and these radio stations. We're talking about liberation, mm-hmm. self-determination. We're talking about revolution. We ain't talking about a coup. We're talking about revolution. We're talking about what's going on in our homeland. And don't kiss me because I'm Irish. I'm not Irish. I give a damn. But come on now. We're talking about what's happening in my homeland. And we do right. have a homeland. And that's the part that white people want us to believe. You are not. You don't have a homeland. You're American, Smokey Robinson. You're American. You are something created by Irugu in this country. And therefore, you are a Negro, American, colored, black, Afro-American. No, you are African, whether you want to be or not.
That's right.
You are African. You may not be in Africa, and I'll say it until I die, but Africa's in you. because it's in me. Mm-hmm. And that's why this show comes on 3 times a week. To keep letting you know that you are African. No one else is going to tell you that. No one's going to tell you, you going to Africa for what, man? What you going to Africa for? I've been to Africa, and I'm going back to Africa.
I say.
And I will more than likely die in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, I will more than likely die in Africa because that is our homeland. Now, you got these devils who have the right to defend themselves. Wait a minute. Who says that? Oh, that's Israel. They have, and then when they do so, I make a mistake and kill some people, they just say they sorry and keep it moving. So I can say I'm sorry when I kill somebody and not go to jail? That's how that works?
Yeah.
It don't work like that, Baba. It don't work like that. But this country is giving aid in one hand and giving guns and missiles in another hand. You got to watch both hands. So how does this work? And people don't, not that they don't want to vote, but there's no one to vote for. Martin Luther King said that. Neither one of these candidates are going to do anything for you. They're going to do for themselves, for the status quo, because we live in a state of individual. I know this sounds like we say the same things over and over again, but Baba, I'm going to say it until you do one or two things.
Get tired
of hearing it or do something
about it. Do something about it. But that's the fact. We need it. We need to reiterate because it's positive reinforcement. It continues. I mean, I did that piece with the NCAA, making sure that you understood that it's a stirring reminder of what America was built on, making tons of money off the unpaid labor of us as a people on the men and women's side of that NCAA game in basketball and in football. That's a fact. We must know these things, man.
Yes.
We should know these things.
And you can't, and this is the part that gets me with the Ruku. You make me believe, you know, Michael Jordan got $100 million contract. If you can pay me $100 million,
right, what do you have?
How much money you got?
How much money you got, bro?
And this is the one that got me in the fire department when I used to work with the majority of white folks. He ain't worth that money. You didn't say that when the white boy got $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the brother gets it, he's not worth it.
Yeah.
You're right. He's not worth it. He's worth starting his own league. He's worth, and you know what? You may not like Ice Cube, but Ice Cube started a 3-on-3 basketball league. That's
right.
A league. Started his own league. Regardless of all the other gin and juice and all that, the hoes and all that foolishness that got him his money,
mm-hmm.
he started his own league. So he's dangerous to white people
right.
because he's not thinking to go get a job. He's thinking to go create a job. Teach our children to create. Don't teach our children to, you know, I'm going to make myself valuable so white folks could hire me.
Mm-hmm.
Koreans and Asians do it. They learn it, and the next thing you know is Korean barbecue. Huh?
Yeah, for real.
What the hell? What they watched you so much until they learned what you did.
Man,
really?
There was an area in Baltimore where my friend stayed at. Near Rice's Town Road in that area.
I know what that's at.
And there's a strip mall and all Korean businesses, the laundromat, the cleaners, the store, the restaurant. They sell the restaurant by weight of the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You weigh your chitlins.
Yep.
Koreans make, they got a black guy back there cooking his ass off. Like KC
right?
and the Sunshine Band. A white boy in the front, black people in the back. Do a little dance.
Get down tonight. Yeah,
that
man.
That ain't nothing but the truth.
That's
and
right.
It's all Koreans.
The liquor
that's
store.
You're talking about security boulevard. Yep.
The liquor
all
store.
Koreans.
All Koreans. I'm like, damn. And
it ain't nothing in there
right.
buying but black people.
Nobody.
Nothing but
nobody
black
buying
people.
But us. Nobody.
And don't get it twisted. If you still eat that stuff, it tastes good.
Because
I used to eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, salt, sugar, fat, brother. And give me a little hot sauce on that. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anything for you because it's residual.
Yeah.
Once they get you hooked on that foolishness. Yep. But the thing is, Baba Oshi, as you get older, you know better, so you do better. And when you were young, you did what you saw the older people do. So when you're following the older and not following the elder, then you're going to do foolishness. Yep. Because just because you old don't make you wise. That's just true. Makes you old.
It just makes you old.
But when you follow an elder and you're around folk that know better, and I don't mean to be extreme, but it's getting to the point for American Africans that extreme is going to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to be extreme. We're going to have to step out of the comfort zone. We're going to have to confront Irugu and say, stop it. Stop it. Because I know the truth, but it's not about me. It's about my children who look at you and think you're doing something right because you want him to buy gold chains and get a car with spinners on it. All that foolishness. Mm-hmm. That I saw a rap video the other day. This guy had more jewelry on. If he'd have fell in the water, Baba Oshie would have been getting him from the bottom because he'd have fell to the bottom. He had so many diamonds and gold chains.
Conspicuous consumption. Yeah.
Yeah. He surrounded himself with things that made him think that he'd made it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the women on there, they shaking their butts and they got the booties up in the air.
Yeah.
I'm like, brother, who's putting up?
And the sad thing, they say this is our culture. This is not our culture.
It's not.
This is a deviant culture. This is a response to the alienation of the dominant culture. Because,
there you go.
You know, we can't get into the white folks' culture, the dominant culture, because they control it. And we don't, and they don't want us in it. And I don't really want us to be in it either. Because it ain't about shit. It's not going to elevate us. The only thing that's going to truly elevate us is to take that step back and then regroup and to present our culture based on who we are as a people, as an African people. This is, you know, drugs and, you know, sexualizations. This is not our culture. Homosexuality. No, this is not who we are. No. But it's who we are here. But it's who we are here.
That's correct. And I'm going to put everything you just said in three words. Knowledge of self.
Yeah.
Huh? You don't know who you are. If you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
If you won't learn your history, you have no idea where you start or where you end. Because you don't understand that there's nothing new under the sun. These white people ain't got a new playbook. Oh, man, that was smart. No, it wasn't. It's been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your elders. Read. Read. One thing white folks don't want you to do is fall in love with reading.
Yeah.
I need you to fall in love with a TV show. Oh, you know, I watch that elementary school show. I watch that every week because you're stupid. You're stupid. You could do anything in the world right now. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're watching a TV show that some Jew wrote. For black people, because that's what Good Times was. A Jew wrote that show.
Yeah.
Well, help, right? That's PQ 100. But my point is, the time you have on this earth is limited.
Right.
Know that. And what you do here is going to affect people when you're gone. They're going to speak of you when you're gone. And what do you want your legacy to be? That I was a good worker? You know, I stayed there for 45 years. Then I retired. You know, I don't feel good. That's because you gave the best years of your life to the job. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Leave as soon as you can. Is it your business? Come on. And stop faking it. Stop faking it, acting like you, you know, I'm sure making a difference. You making a difference to who? You sent all these kids to college. Your boy ain't go to college because you didn't have the money, but you worked somebody's job, and then you taught him to do the same thing. You know, my son worked here, too. Really? You lost your mind. So no, Baba Oshi, I just wanted to say that I could go on and on because
hold on, dear brother. Like, you hold on.
You know
there'll
I
be
am.
Some more conversation Please. Coming up, brother. All right, brother Irv.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Okay. All right, brother Paul. How you doing, man?
Brother Ochi.
What's up,
We're
man?
Walking down the street smoking Indo.
Sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my
Got
money.
My money on my mind. Can you inform Baba Herb? Can you just inform him that is not Ice Cube? That's Snoop Doggy Dogg.
That's right.
You All know, right. Baba, I was listening to our great and fantastic articulate brother. But you know what I was thinking, what crossed my mind
Well, many things run across my mind. Some of that stuff you played, I had some thoughts. But you know, when our brother gives us his energy, he always seems to throw me all over the place. But listen, you know, but my big brother Irv is a bit older than me, and you are the same age as my dad. So I'm going to say this here: there's a generation thing going on here. You know, some of the comments I've heard made about hip hop, I fundamentally don't agree with. Hip hop, I grew up with. Hip hop, I brought break beats from New York, which was recorded on Kiss FM from Africa Islam. Many people who talk about hip hop don't even in your country don't even know who Africa Islam is. Okay, I met Afrika Bambaataa.
Afrika Bambaataa. We
brought
him
to the country.
Yeah.
Although he's wrapped up in some nonsense now, but at that time,
I know.
He was a idol.
Yeah, I know that about that situation. Yeah.
Afrika Bambaataa. Yeah. I understood what he well, as I understood his story, he was a legend to me. He was a legend. It was like his story was that he was in the gangs in New York, I can't remember the name of the gang he was in. One of the gang leaders, apparently. And, you know, hip hop was formulated to stop the knife fighting and the gun fighting and you know,
sure.
Break dance. You
know? Right, having them break dancing and rapping. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. I loved it. I loved Grandmaster Flash and the Fuse 5. They were my heroes, yeah? Mm-hmm. So like I said, when I was in New York, I came back, I was bringing break beats. And, you know, I really have a passion for it because, you know, people grasped it. At first, people didn't know what they were. I'm in it from the beginning. People didn't know what they were. And then we started to sell it. And then I grew up in East London. Most of the groups who got into hip hop came from East London. I was part of that. I was part of that. So, I hear people talk about hip hop, but they don't really know about hip hop. They don't know. They don't know how many lives that saves. They don't have no idea. They don't have no idea. They just see the problem I have, Baba Ochi, is this, yeah? And this is not into no one particular because I hear the narratives. You know, hip hop is a global movement. It's spread globally. That's how great it is. It's great. And it came with a message. But what you see the thing about a message, you take what you need and disregard what you don't need. That's what you do.
Okay.
If a man tells you that his life's full of look, by the way, I met DMX as well. DMX is my favorite artist of all time. He's the same age as me. And I met him by some strange coincidence. A friend of mine who does security, when he came here, they were in the security management for them. And this particular friend invited me. He rides motorbikes and the rest of it. He invited me to the hotel, which is where I East London. It was in the Docklands, yeah. And I didn't even know DMX was going to be there, but he was among a few other artists. And I actually met him and I spoke to him, and that was another thing that blew my mind because we're the same age. And I said, I've been listening to your music from the first album you produced, and that brother is so deep. His mind is so amazing. Amazing. I'm telling you that. I met him and spoke to him. Amazing. Amazing, brother. You know, actually, for our God's father to say, I ain't never met no one like him. You know, we talked, and I'm like, you know, things he was saying. I said to him, you grew up in New York. I grew up in London, yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's all my, you know, I haven't, some of the things that's happened to you, it's not happened to me, but I know it's happened to others. And the way you articulate yourself, and you articulate, and in your mindset, bro, I see you're so deep. You understand? We just laugh. You know, I've had that privilege, yeah? You know, one of the things that I admire about Ice Cube, I'll put him high up there, long before you talk about this basketball thing.
Okay.
When he was with NWA, right, he's the only one out of the group, NWA, who never signed the contract. And he said that he didn't want to sign no contract because he didn't like the way the contract was set up. Am I talking rubbish? Am I not talking the truth, Baba Ochi? I know these people. Hip-hop was my thing from the beginning. I know I'm a hip-hop scientist. Not just the narrative about, oh, they say bitch or they say this and that crap. I am the scientist. I study these individuals. And I know why they, you know, they say things what people don't like. I know that. And no one ever says it. Look, if you hear your father call your mama B-I-T-C-H, you might repeat that on the street.
Okay.
If you hear your grandmother calling one of the grandchildren a nigger, silly little nigger, which I've heard myself when I've been in New York.
Okay.
Right? If you hear that, Baba Ochi, let me ask you a question. You know, when you were growing up, you're the same age as my father. Do you ever hear the older people, long before hip hop, call anyone a nigger? Did you ever heard that?
Yeah. Not a lot.
So why did
not more so today than it was back when I came up? Yes, I agree.
But you heard it. You heard it. Mm-hmm. The point I'm trying to make: hip hop didn't invent the word nigger. It didn't invent it. What it did is those who didn't have a voice, because most people who was involved in hip hop, they didn't really have an education as such. They didn't have a degree. Yeah, they didn't go to university or college. Yeah, they were given a voice. It was most of those people who were given a voice come from the street. I ain't making this up. I know about it because hip hop is me. I've lived that life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's why that they have that language. It's not because, oh, it's just about making money. Long before any of them made money. I know all the artists. Mm-hmm. I was part of that. Them women making no money. But that was the language of some people. And most of that language come from their homes. They heard their own people talk that.
Right.
Yeah. So, look, I don't live in America, but I've been there. I've got family there. I know these things. So sometimes it surprises me when I hear all this talk. Oh, hip-hop, this, that. Oh, they're the ones to blame. No, they ain't. So, you know, the point I'm trying to make, Baba Ochi, sometimes you don't like this. I know you don't like this. Sometimes we become our own worst enemy because, you know
I don't like it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we focus on things that we do and don't really look at what he's doing. And let me look at Hollywood, for instance, before hip hop, Hollywood. Okay. They made that film, that Ku Klux Klan film, what they call it, Birth of a Nation.
Okay.
Yeah. They made a film, right? A film which basically said that the blacks are nothing. Yeah. And you must hang them by the rope, from the tree. That was called Birth of a Nation. Okay. That was in Hollywood. But I never hear no one talk about that. And you can name film after film. Look at all them cowboys who were John Wayne, that damn racist. That was their pin-up idol, John Wayne.
Yes, it was. Yes, you know,
right, exactly. The racist. And look at your president. What's his name? He used to act in them.
Ronald Reagan.
Blasted Hollywood film. Ronald Reagan. Imagine that damn racist who used to act in their movies and make the indigenous people of America look like they're nothing. You just come there.
You're breaking up on me.
Them, rape them, and now you're right.
You're breaking up on me, Paul. Paul.
Impression that you're. Yeah.
Paul, you're breaking up on
me.
Yeah, you're breaking up on me.
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
No, it's getting worse.
He's breaking up, Oshie.
Yeah. Why don't you hang up and call back, Paul?
Yeah, call back, Paul. He was really making a point.
Oh yeah, hang up and
yeah, he was making.
Hang up and Paul, call back, brother.
Baba Oshie.
Yeah. No, you're breaking up on me. Hang up and call back. Let's see if that'll work.
Yeah, I can understand. Mm-hmm. He was on fire.
Oh, yeah. As always, man. As always. You know that. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. You know what, Baba Ochi, I don't mean to just cut right in real quickly. When he speaks, he brings a lot of questions to me. I want to ask a lot of things, but I also want to listen to him speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to hear his take thing from the other side of the. Here he's back. He's back, Baba Ochi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, that sounds good. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm saying to you, is this. Yeah. I heard Brother Herb say you want to hear my side for the tape. Fantastic. I'm so elated that you said that, because, you know, like for instance, I spend a lot of time with hip hop, building it, graffiti. My brother. My dad said to me one time, you know, the drawing you're doing. I wasn't really that good at it. I had some pens and stuff, and I had a notebook where we used to make the graffiti, listen to this. This is fact. I ain't telling you no lies. So my dad said, you can make money doing that. I knew I wasn't that good, but my brother took it up. I'm going to send you the details to show you that I ain't lying to you. My brother become a graphic designer, not just a graphic designer. He's one of the best in the country. That came out of hip hop. And not Richard Branson. I don't know if you know Richard Branson.
Yes, I know Richard Branson.
My brother was working at the BBC as a graphic designer. Richard Branson came personally, white man, millionaire man, came personally to the BBC and recruited my brother. My brother was head of Virgin Atlantic, the designs. That's from hip hop. So I find it very difficult when I hear, you know, why we just take all the negative side. We don't know. All my friends, every single one of them were in hip hop. Every one of them. All the people I knew. Right, not just the madness. We were into the art form. We were into the dancing. We had a hip hop crew. We were at the London Palladium. We done a lot of things with it. And my son is a rapper now. You know, he went to acting school and he's a rapper. I don't mind. He makes music. He's now a producer, by the way. And that's with me and my brother and my other brother, because we're all into it. My brother's got a clothing company and it's based on hip hop. So when I listen, I say to myself, do they really know what this thing is? This is another problem. Because often I think we as a people, we get given the golden stool. It's in our DNA. But then we give it away. Because we think that always at the white man's eyes is whatever.
It's colder.
The point I'm trying to make is, here, Baba Ochi, this is another thing what concerns me. I'm here in England, and I know how black people as a whole look at African Americans. I don't believe I know how they think. What I'm saying is that they kind of reminisce of a time like when you had Malcolm X and those brilliant, brilliant, brilliant mindsets. And they still think that's happening in America today. But those African Americans, they set a benchmark. But to me, I'm going to have to say something here, and I have to be honest. That benchmark is not being met today. It's not. And it's disappointing for me, and it's hurtful.
No, it's disappointing for all of us. No, I agree with you.
When I hear the kind of nonsense, the self-gratulation and the self-grandeur, I'm thinking, but have you really done the work? Have you really put your neck on the line and meet those flipping targets, these what were set for you, the people who died for the cause? You did just
y'all got me smiling. Beautiful.
Hold on. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Irv?
No, I was saying that when the brother said that the benchmarks aren't being met, I can relate to that. But I also have
we can all relate to it. We can all relate to it because it's true. And it pains me. It bothers me. You can hear it in my voice. It bothers me. Pains me. I think to myself, imagine those people. They gave their life. They gave, you know, Martin Luther King. I've studied him, you know. He knew he was going to die. He said, I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over it. He's telling you he knows what's coming his way. He knows. But he's reached a point where he don't care. Because he knows what he has to do. He has to sacrifice his life for the cause. Now, when I look at these, I go on the internet and I look at some of these idiots talking rubbish. I think to myself, are they lost their mind? What are they talking about? I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that. I'm like, wow. You've actually bought into the okey-doke. You've actually drunk the Kool-Aid, so you're so intoxicated and drunk. You don't even know what time of day it is. And that's really disappointing to me when I hear it. Because people are looking for that benchmark, and it's being let down big time. It's, in actual fact, it's nearly gone. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's nearly gone. So no African-American needs to be looked at anymore. We need to look around the world for who's going to lead this thing. Maybe it's going to come from exactly where I'm at. That's how I feel now, because I've been listening and studying and taking notes, and it's blowing my mind. I'm saying, what's going on? What is really happening? Have these people traveled out and looked around the world and see what's really going on? Or have they just gone to these places as tourists and just had the tourist view and they think that's it, what it is? Some expatriate, I'm an expat nonsense. This is a real war struggle.
It is.
And if you ain't up for the fight, man,
a real war struggle.
Go and take a rocking chair rock yourself to sleep, because this is war. And the last thing I'm going to say, you know, we have to start involving the young. We have to evangelize with the young, meaning that we have to bring young people, young, yes, on these platforms.
Paul, listen, we have to. It's part of a succession plan. It is part of how we're going to move this whole process forward, because if we don't, it will end with us dying on the vine. Because that's the problem with us, that many people...
There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect going on, right?
Yes.
Look, I'm at the middle age, so I'm being between you, Brother Irv, and the young. I'm younger than you all, but I'm connected with the young still. Right. But and what gives me the advantage, because I've been into these computers. I'm a geek. I've been into these computers. So I know more than them, technically, about social media and the things they know. I know more about it technically than they do. Okay. I know how it works. Uh-huh. They use it, but I know how it operates. I've been in it from the beginning. I've had a computer business, so I know how it operates, everything on it. So it helps me to stay ahead of them. I can look at what they're seeing and what they're following and what they're doing and how they're being controlled by this thing, yeah? But what I recognize is we got to bring them in. Because they need your wisdom. They need Brother Irv's wisdom. It's pointless us speaking to ourselves. We need to get them on these platforms and hear what they got to say. Some of what they got to say is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be very uncomfortable. But we have to do it. You know, we have to do it. Because the dad disconnect, right, is getting bigger. It's getting bigger by the day. We have to. We got to be like the Jehovah's Witnesses and recruit them, knock on their doors and say, come on, this is the opportunity we're giving you. Come and talk. Let's hear what you got to say. We need to hear what they got to say. And we need to give them our wisdom. This wisdom, not just talking to ourselves. We need to talk to them and bring them in to the shop. We do. Thank you for giving me that opportunity to say what I had to say.
Right on, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, my man. I really do. I really do. I really appreciate you and what you bring. And a lot of the stuff that I played today was the things that you sent, to me. So, you know, I really do. And I agree with you. You know, we got to bring the young people in. We got to get these brothers and sisters in. But so many of them, they're very Western. There is no connect. There is a disconnect. There is no connect to the information about who we are as African people. There's a disconnect. In fact, many of them believe that we're not African. You know, we're black. We're not white. They recognize we ain't white either. You know, but this is a black movement. You know, it's just like ADOS. Oh, God. The ADOS, which of course is the African descendants of slaves, which is a messed up ass title in itself. You know, anytime you put ain't it, man? I'm telling
you. It's foolish. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. That is the most divisive organization I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah.
It is dividing Africans. There's one Africa, Baba. Yeah. One Africa. I don't give a damn if you're born here. Your ancestors were bought here. So now you're not from Africa? So how far do you go back? Mm-hmm. That does not even make sense. So, Baba, when you said that, I'm sorry for cutting in, but you're absolutely correct. That is a foolish organization, but they will get traction. Because in this country, it's not about what you say. It's about how much money you got.
Right.
How much money you can make happen. And money gives the impression that you're right, because he must be right or people wouldn't give him money. Well, hell, people give Trump money, and he's a damn fool.
Yeah.
He's a damn... No, Baba, no, you are right with that. It's one Africa, one people. Stop letting people divide you. That's how they did Africa. And you told me they cut Africa up. They had a meeting and cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
You take this, I take that, you take this. And the same playbook.
The Berlin Conference.
Come on, Baba.
1884-85.
That's correct. You know? No, you're absolutely correct.
So,
my God. I ain't hear Sister Mabantu today. Today, where's she at?
Sister Mabantu. I don't know. Or Sister Habib.
Yeah, I don't know. I love them sisters. I love that sister. And the other sister they call.
Yeah, I
love that. But Baba Oshi, I remember when we were in the conference, and you were president of the International Black Firefighters Organization. Mm-hmm. But the one theme that stayed constant throughout every conference that I ever went to when we all met was young people. We were always trying to get the young people. Yes. So this, you know, we were always trying to pass the torch. But to pass the torch to young people, they have to be worthy of that.
Right.
You can't just give them something and let them destroy it. That's, you know, so and that was the thing about young people. So we had to groom them. We had to get them early in their careers, mm-hmm. before they were contaminated or before they were diluted.
Right.
You know, because I look up and these white brothers I know, they chasing them snow bunnies. I mean, and they're telling you something wrong with you because you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I've had bunches of them, man. I prefer a sister. And I can prefer what I want. And if you notice what I said, Bob, prefer. I didn't say I hate anybody. So don't say I hate somebody because I like strawberry ice cream and I don't like chocolate ice cream. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I hate ice cream. But I don't hate anybody. But what I'm not going to do is let you sit here and hurt me and my people. See, the thing, Baba Oshi, when we talk collectively, they don't want to hear that. They want us to talk individually. You know, I did this, and I did that, and I got this, and I did this, and this happened for me, and this my family. No. It's not about I. It's about we.
Mm-hmm.
And white folks don't want to hear we in this country.
No.
They want to hear I. No. come on now.
But their greatest fear is the unification of African people. But right now, at this moment as we're speaking, nobody's really pushing that as an agenda openly. It's working on a different level that we're trying to push that, but not the way it should be. It should be something that is spoken on in these newspapers, in these radio programs, on cable, whatever. It should be a constant push for unity for African people. It should be many men and women who can bring this at seminars and workshops. We have to push this, just like Marcus Garvey. Man, Marcus Garvey, you got to understand what a great man and what he did. When anybody could just, with just a newspaper, they didn't have the internet. They didn't even have the telephone. Yeah, they had telephones back then, but you couldn't use that in the way that you could use that today. Then the main thing that brought the people together was the newspaper and the word of mouth, you know, because not many people had access to it, man, you know. And yet he could bring, you know, thousands of people to the old Madison Square Garden in New York in 1920. 21, you know, over 100 years ago, over 100 years ago,
woo!
You know, and yet today we can't get 2,000 people to a meeting, you know,
2,000 people, but have money, yeah, and they got money.
Yeah, we can't even get 2,000 people, but yet here he was able to get, what was it, 21,000? Man.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Yeah, come on.
You know, because many
people. But do you
people,
see a documentary about him?
You know.
Do you see a movie about him? We see one about Bob Marley.
Yeah.
But do you see one about him?
Well, they were trying to make one. They were trying to make one. And I'm not sure, you know, with Delray Lindo playing Marcus Garvey. I remember that was in the works.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was in the works, but it just never came to fruition. You know, maybe that's still something that's on the table. But the bottom line is, you know, regardless if they make a movie of any of these people, the reality is what we have to deal with. Because a lot of times people see a damn movie and say, oh, okay, that's it. You know, back to business as usual. The fact of the matter is we cannot, as a people, afford business as usual as it relates to Caucasians. Our business should be about unification. Our business should be about the liberation of African people. Our business should be about the control of Africa, you know, and Africa's resources. That's what our business should be about, you know. So, but we'll see. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
You might imagine you're talking about that movie, yeah? I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, right? Imagine we got all the tools. You got worldwide internet. We're all connected. If everybody, all you need is a few people to give $10, right? We could finance up that movie,
sure.
Pay off everybody. Everybody get paid, yeah.
Sure.
And then you sell it to a distributor, Netflix. They would buy it. You know, movies are being made here amazingly. Yeah, people are just making movies. They'd buy it, and they'll make their money within that first week that would be paid off. So what's our problem? I it blows my mind. What's really our problem, really? Because, you know, you just have to put in $10. That's it. We pay for that movie, you know, and everybody could get a return on that. You're not just going to give your $10. You're going to get a return on that because that movie is going to double, triple and quadruple within a week. You understand? But yet still, we can't do it. And we've got the tools at our fingerprints for our phones. I don't understand it. Someone needs to explain to me what's going on with us. Really.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of self-hatred, a lot of suspicion, a lot of divisiveness. There's a lot of us, man, who can, once again, we need to come to the clear understanding that we are an African people. And what we should do is in the best interest of African people. Have that clear in mind. And what is in the best interest of African people? Coming together, pulling resources, doing for ourselves. Across this country, Paul, in this country, man, there are many communities where we're dominant, but yet we don't control the economic life of that community. You know? Because I don't know if you heard me talking about with Brother Irv in Baltimore. You know, there's a neighborhood in Baltimore that I visit, and there's a strip mall there, and the Koreans own every business in that strip mall. The liquor store, the cleaners, the supermarket, the restaurant, the laundromat. And I know because
it's the same here, Baba Oji, but it's the only difference is it's the Indians and the Pakistanis. Indians, they run it. That's the only difference, but it's the same. And you know the more scary fact? It's actually happening in Africa as we speak. I've heard people say it in Gambia. Exactly the same as you talk. How can this be possible?
Yes.
Listen, I know it's over time. All I can say, we better wake up.
That's right.
We better wake up.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying is that these are the things in a conference that we need to have, talking about who's going to be responsible to making this stuff happen. We got to kick these people out of our communities and begin to control the resources in our community. There's a damn shame that in Milwaukee, where I'm from, but I know it, there's now only one convenience store service station. Only one. Only one. All crazy. Others are owned by Arabs or owned by crazy. Indians, crazy. You know, and so
crazy.
Forth. I mean, and there is not, used to be a number of beauty product stores. All of them are owned by other than us. We don't have one beauty product store in the city of Milwaukee. In the city of Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, 40% of the population is American African, is black, out of almost 700,000 people. Over 1.7 million men in metropolitan area. But Milwaukee is highly, highly hyper-segregated. Hyper-segregated. So, but anyway, I tell you, we're going to go.
Wake up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we have much, much work to do. But I appreciate you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, Brother Irv. And
thank you for giving the opportunity. Thank
you. Baba Butch, you know, all of you guys, bless y'all, man. I appreciate y'all. So I got to end this program. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardier, Bibi Fahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday, family. Take care and be safe.